So I'm Gary Block. I'm a family physician. I work with St. Michael's Hospital, doing inner city family medicine in general, and specifically work with HIV, a lot of homelessness, some refugee immigrant health, and general what I call poverty health, which is kind of the mixed bag of what you tend to see in the inner city. And I also work at Seton House Homeless Shelter in the Annex Harm Reduction Program a couple of half days a week, seeing chronically homeless men.
How did you get involved with the Special Diet Campaign?
I heard about the Special Diet Campaign through a number of avenues, probably a few months after it started up. And I was pretty excited about it from the first time I heard about it. I mean, it was already very much going. I mean, I probably heard about it in about May or June of this... Or sorry, I first heard about it probably in February of this year and then got involved around May or June. I was certainly a little hesitant from the beginning, just because it's not common that you hear about these sort of political advocacy campaigns that require the work of healthcare providers to make them run, which made me a little bit wary about what we were going to be asked to do, which is why it took me a few months to come on board. But after a number of conversations, I certainly jumped in with 2 feet.
What changed your mind, or?
It took a while for me to understand what the campaign was really asking for. And I mean, I can give you kind of my understanding of what this campaign is about, which is essentially it's a drive to provide the special diet supplement, which is up to $250 a month for every social assistance recipient, for every single person who is on social assistance. And the way that's justified is by saying that there's a strong link between poverty, which is something that all social assistance recipients experience, and poor health. And the next step in that is to say that while social assistance rates at the level that they're at now are so low that people on social assistance can't even come close to meeting their basic needs in terms of health needs and in terms of nutritional needs, and obviously those tie together. So what changed my mind was really understanding how low social assistance rates are, and understanding that what was being asked of me is to declare that there's a health condition that requires the supplement, which I feel very comfortable saying that there is, and that health condition is poverty and the risk for nutritional deficiency and other health conditions that fall out of poverty.
I know that critics of the campaign, such as the welfare department, for example, would dispute that logic. They have been saying things like this is a violation of professional ethics, or that by diagnosing everyone on welfare with this, you're basically making a mockery of that system. What's your response to that?
My response is to say, actually, from my understanding of what's going on here, I think I actually have an ethical responsibility to provide this supplement to people on social assistance. I think the criticism that we're kind of twisting around the system or exploiting a loophole comes out of a fairly rigid and conservative definition of what makes up a medical condition. And to give you an example of how I think it's justified, I mean, it's quite clear from the form that we're able to prescribe certain of the diets listed on the form for something like high blood pressure. And high blood pressure itself is not what I would, if you were going to ask me to be really strict about my definitions, not what I would call a medical condition. It has no symptoms. It causes no direct problems. Unless you get to a very high blood pressure, but most people's high level of blood pressure causes no direct problems. And in fact, what it is a risk factor for other problems, mainly for heart disease. Okay, but it's quite clear from the form that the people who designed it feel it's legitimate to declare high blood pressure to be a medical condition that warrants a special diet, even though that's a risk factor. Now, to me, when I look at poverty, and there's extremely strong evidence out there showing the link between poverty and poor outcomes from a number of significant health conditions, as well as just an increased risk of having a number of significant health conditions. The evidence is very strong with that link, and so I feel very, very comfortable putting that at least on the same level as something like high blood pressure, and declaring on the form that the social assistance recipients have a medical condition that warrants me prescribing this special diet.
What's your role been in the campaign?
I've been involved in a number of levels. I mean, from the beginning, I've been involved with OCAP's special diet clinics, where we've seen people on social assistance just to prescribe them the full special diet supplements. I've also become involved at other sort of advocacy and political levels. First of all, with recruiting and organizing healthcare providers around this campaign. Second of all, with preparing information to assist in that recruitment and also assist in explaining what we're doing to other people who are interested in the campaign, including, you know, people from the Social Services Ministry and other levels of government. And finally, in bringing this campaign to other political levels. So first of all, to the city, and more recently, in the last few weeks, up to the level of the province, the Ministry of Social Services and other relevant provincial ministries. So my involvement's been fairly intense over the last few months.
Sounds like it. Mm-hmm. How have you found recruiting, or have you gotten a good response from other medical professionals?
Yes and no. There's a very strong group of medical professionals who have been involved in this campaign and who continue to support the campaign wholeheartedly, and that group is growing. And the more we kind of bring out information and talk with people and send out kind of letters or sheets justifying our position or explaining our position, the more people come on board. And we've got a very strong group of healthcare providers helping to move this forward. That said, I mean, the healthcare community, especially the community of physicians, tends to be conservative and tends to interpret their role from a more conservative perspective than some other segments of society might like them to interpret their role. And so there's certainly been resistance from within the healthcare community. That hasn't surprised me. If you'd asked me before I'd started this what the reaction would be, it would be exactly that. And I think the most important thing is that we have enough healthcare providers to move ahead with the campaign and to kind of make the political point that we're trying to make, which is that we think welfare rates should be increased across the board. And we certainly do have, or are very close to having, that kind of critical mass of healthcare providers.
Well, the city's tried several times, I think, to try to change the rules so that fewer medical professionals can sign the supplement and get you guys less involved that way. How have medical professionals organized against that?
Against the city's restrictions? It's been pretty interesting, actually. I mean, the city's had about 3 points of intervention over the last few months where they've tried to change the rules. And at every point, there's been a very, very quick response from healthcare professionals. And healthcare professionals at multiple levels. I mean, right from, you know, the people on the ground like myself who are running these clinics, who see the immediate impact on recipients, all the way up to the level of colleges. For instance, the College of Nurses became involved at one point when the city said that nurse practitioners could no longer sign the forms. And they reacted very quickly as well. And in every case, the city has had to withdraw its restrictions, other than one. Which is that it still requires, I mean, as of, I can't remember the exact date, it was somewhere mid-July, they started to require that recipients bring in original copies of the special diet application form to healthcare providers to sign, which we see no justification for, other than putting up a bureaucratic barrier to people getting this form signed, which it's done in some cases. But despite our complaints and despite many recipients' complaints, that rule has not been rescinded. But every single other barrier they've put up has been, which has been pretty exciting to see.
did that whole process of those restrictions going up and nurses, colleges, and healthcare professionals fighting and everything, did that get more people involved or mobilize people at all?
Yes, it definitely did get more people involved. It certainly made people aware of the issues. It sort of, they served as, you know, key kind of rallying points for us to get information out there, to show people what the issues were, and to kind of be able to sit down with people and explain to them what our position is and what we're doing and what the justification is for what we're doing. And that certainly drew people in. Because, I mean, if there's one thing that all healthcare professionals are in touch with, it's their clients. And clients are the first ones to complain when these barriers go up.
So as you said, it's been mostly at the city level up to this point, but that's changing. Tell me a little about that.
I strongly believe that this campaign is something that actually should not be fought by healthcare providers. I'm certainly very happy to be involved in the campaign. I think it's really important that I am. I think that healthcare providers show very clearly the link between poverty and health. And I think that we're having a huge impact by giving social assistance recipients this extra $250 a month, which is a huge amount of money for most people on social assistance. But that said, what really needs to be done here is that welfare rates need to be increased across the board. And that's not something that I can do directly. It's something that needs to be done ultimately by the government. And I think all of us who are involved in this campaign recognize that and recognize that that's where we need to go. So what we did, or kind of the biggest thing we've done so far in that way is to create a letter that we sent off to the Minister of Social Services and, directly to her and then to a number of other ministries and government regulatory bodies, which was signed by I think 40 to 50 healthcare providers, explaining what we're doing, why we're doing it, the strong link between poverty and health, and what we think the ultimate solution needs to be here, which is a stronger social assistance system and social safety net in this country.
Have you gotten any response from that letter?
We have not yet had a response, which is a little... I wouldn't say it's surprising, but I'd like to see something, and we're following up on it. We will get a response.
How are you following up?
We'll follow up by pushing the ministry and the minister to meet with us. And that's kind of the first step that we'd like to see, is to be able to sit down with people in the ministry to explain our position, to make sure that we're at the table in terms of discussions around what's happening with both the supplement and what's happening with welfare rates.
There's also, I know... really massive special diet clinic scheduled for October 3rd on the lawn of the legislature, I think, while it's meeting. Mm-hmm. What's been the role of healthcare professionals in organizing that?
So, OCAP's certainly been the main organizing force behind this clinic. And what this is, again, it's the next step in bringing this issue to the provincial government. And what we're planning to do is have, as you say, a massive special diet clinic in Queen's Park, so right in front of the Queen's Park legislative buildings. Healthcare providers are central to this organizing effort. We have to be, because we're the only ones who can sign these forms. And right now it looks like we're going to have around 30 healthcare providers working at this clinic. We expect to see and to sign the forms of at least 1,000 clients in a three-hour clinic on the afternoon of October 3rd, which I think should send a pretty strong message to the provincial governments about how we feel about the current state of welfare and social assistance in this province.
And what would you like to see come out of that clinic, kind of as an immediate thing?
As an immediate thing, again, I would like to see us brought to the table in terms of discussions around the special diet supplement and around welfare rates. Ultimately what I'd like to see, of course, is a recognition by the government that current levels of social assistance are just untenable. They're unhealthy, and I think they don't fit with the values of our province and of our social safety net. So I would like to ultimately see welfare rates go up, but a good, solid dialogue and exchange at a meeting with, you know, the higher-up officials within the social services ministry, and ideally including the minister herself, would be wonderful.
It's great that so many healthcare providers are starting to get involved, and it's obviously totally central to the campaign. What about healthcare organizations? Have the places you work or other organizations that provide healthcare to poor people gotten on board, or has there been support?
There's been support from some organizations, mainly community health centers, and there's certain key community health centers that have been very involved with the campaign. And other organizations like Street Health, which is an organization of street nurses. Other healthcare organizations have not yet lent their support to the campaign. And it's certainly something we're working on, is informing them about the campaign, soliciting their support, letting them know about our ultimate goals, and, I mean, ideally, hopefully, gaining their support for the drive to increase welfare rates. I should say, actually, the Association of Registered Nurses of Ontario has given us support, which has been wonderful, and the executive director and president of that organization have both lent support to this campaign. But other big healthcare organizations have not yet. They haven't really expressed any position on the campaign, so we're working on it.
Why do you think it's so hard to get welfare rates and disability rates raised up to a decent level that people can live on? Why is there so much resistance?
I mean, I think that's a big political and ideological question. I mean, as we know, politics in this country has shifted towards the right and has been shifting that way for at least 20 years. You know, 10 years ago when the Harris government slashed welfare rates, that was probably kind of the biggest, you know, and boldest move that the government made towards decreasing the social safety net. And I think, you know, their justification for that was, you know, if we lower welfare, more people will work. And that hasn't panned out. All we've seen is that more people are poor. The government, this Liberal government that's in power now, came in on a platform saying they were going to reverse some of the cuts that had taken place. They have not done that. They made a very small, very, very incremental increase to welfare rates, I guess a couple of years ago, which made very little impact in my mind in terms of the overall levels of social assistance that people receive. They also changed the welfare program to what they call workfare, again showing that in their minds, ideologically, what they thought needed to happen with welfare was to push people off the system and push them into working. Again, that's not happening, and there's been a recent very interesting report put out by the TD Bank, of all places, which criticized the workfare program and said that it's just not, it hasn't produced the kind of results the government wanted, and that they actually need to rethink the idea of raising welfare rates across the board and putting more supports in place for people to transition out of welfare with a much stronger level of assistance as they do that. And quite frankly, if the banks are saying that, I feel pretty comfortable saying that myself, because I'm no economist. I think there's hope. I think that this government is not I think that this government, from what it said in the past, and especially what it said during its campaign, did not seem to be against the idea of raising welfare rates. I mean, obviously, it takes money to raise welfare rates, and every government these days is scared to spend money, despite the kind of surpluses we've seen. But I'm hoping that what they'll see is that poor health costs a lot of money as well, and that by keeping this many people, and we're talking about hundreds of thousands of Ontarians, at this level of poverty, and, you know, and therefore bringing about the number of health conditions and the amount of poor health that falls out of that, that that's going to ultimately cost the system a lot more than raising welfare rates would. And to me, raising welfare rates is essentially a preventative health maneuver. And I think that, again, I think there's pretty good evidence to show that to be true.
Ultimately, what do you think it's going to take to get the rates raised, to get the government to do that?
I don't know what it will take. I think that all we can do is keep up the pressure, and to make the kind of strong, sound arguments that we're making now. I mean, politics being politics, I'm not going to pretend that I think a revolution is around the corner, but I certainly think we can push in that direction. I know that there's reasonable thinking people within the government who hopefully hear these arguments and hear strong arguments and are willing to think about them and be swayed by them. I think it will take continued pressure and continued pressure from many different corners. I think that as a healthcare community, we need to continue to fight to push for this. I think that social assistance recipients need to continue to tell their stories and to push for this on as big a level as possible. And I think that, you know, political action groups need to continue to push for this, and any other groups within the province and within our general civil society need to keep pushing for this in a strong, vocal way that shows the kind of broad-based support this campaign has and will continue to have.
What have you personally taken away from the campaign? What have you learned? What have you gotten out of it?
I think the biggest thing for me personally has been a recognition of the role that healthcare providers can play in terms of bigger political advocacy. A recognition that health does not, or healthcare does not just take place in one-on-one interactions inside healthcare providers' offices. That in order to really to improve the health of our patients, and especially the health of our most disadvantaged and marginalized patients, we need to go beyond our offices and start taking our opinions and our voices to the streets and into the places of power, which in this case is the government. And I mean, that realization's excited me. I mean, it's given me sort of a new thrust in terms of where I see myself placing my energies as a healthcare provider. I hope I'll continue to be able to do that, and I'll continue to provide venues for that. And what's beautiful about this campaign is I can do that in a way that's, I feel, is incredibly strongly medically justified, which allows me to go to my colleagues and present these kind of arguments to them in a very strong and sound way, in a very convincing way, and hopefully to kind of mobilize them to do the same thing that we've been doing.
Well, thanks very much, Gary, both for being on the show and for your huge work on this campaign. It's great, and your help and that of your colleagues has obviously been totally central. Thanks again.
Thank you. Let's keep up the struggle.